You know his work from his productions that have been performed at Penobscot Theater Company. He's the author of One Blue Tarp, Hair Frenzy, and a brand new play entitled The Dog's Pond. Travis Baker joins us in studio. Travis, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Rich. And I just want to say one thing. Go Astros.
Oh, yeah. You're pulling for the Astros? Is it because you like the Astros or because you don't like the Dodgers?
I was born in Boston, but then my parents forcibly removed me to Houston, Texas when I was five. So I grew up loving the Astros. I played for the Astros in Little League.
Oh, well, perfect then.
So,
do you wear those rainbow uniforms?
Yes, I did. Actually, I still have a very small one, which surprisingly doesn't fit anymore. I tried, but...
I love it. Well, that gets underway tonight. Now, Travis, you also brought along with you actor Marshall Mays, who is going to be playing Carter when you do a reading of the play tomorrow. Now, let's talk about the reading, first of all.
It's part of the Dorigo Speaks reading series, which is sponsored by the Bangor Daily News, the Bangor Public Library, and AARP. And it's 5 to 7 tomorrow at the library. This is mature audiences only. This is six guys up at a camp. So I'm pretty sure you know what that entails.
Yeah, I have a pretty good idea. Yeah.
Do you have any memory of it?
No. Although I had a group of guys, we used to go ice fishing with guys up to a camp in the wintertime. So, Marshall, how do you get in the spirit of Carter? How do you capture this character?
Oh, wow. That's a tough thing. I've been reading different drafts of the play and have become a big fan of this play over last year. For me, I'm just thrilled to get the chance to participate in some way.
Now, you were out in Los Angeles recently, and that was a pretty productive trip, huh?
Yeah, I got back last night at the beautiful Bangor airport around midnight because there was no way to get back from L.A. to Bangor on Saturday or on Sunday. I was getting back at Monday at 11 o'clock no matter what.
Oof.
But it was I was out at Pandora Productions out there at the Garage Theater in Long Beach, and we had an amazing response to the play. It was the winner of the New Works Festival out there, and I'd been furiously working most of the day on some of the deficiencies in Act Two. What we're going to see on tomorrow at the reading is a slimmed down version. It's about an hour and the full play is almost 2 hours. We're going to see 1 hour of that, but it's going to be the essence of the story. The story is more than just these six guys at camp. There's the camp is owned by Uncle Pete, and he's a Vietnam veteran. He's been living a fairly solitary life, and his nephews Carter and Owen. Carter has invited Owen and some of his fellow Marines from the Afghan-Iraq wars up to the camp to try to get Owen to speak again. He hasn't spoken since he's been back from Iraq. The other two characters are Professor Infield, who is the neighbor next door, and then Bergsy, who shows up all the way from Texas on his modified motorcycle because he had his left leg, his left arm, his left nut, and half his face blown off by an IED. So it's a much more... darker and serious piece than maybe people are used to with me, but there's still a lot of humor, a lot of it fairly obscene, so don't bring the kids, please.
Well, yeah, you described it to me as fireworks, obscenity, pathos, and poetry. It's like a downtown staff meeting, Carrie. It's all there.
Yeah, actually, Marshall wrote that for a an introduction to another contest. And I've stolen it from him completely and taken all the credit.
Nice work. What drew you to this story, Marshall?
I've been a fan of Travis's plays for a long time. And
you just produced two of them.
And I've directed a couple of productions and produced them and done some reading. So when he sent me this one, I just fell in love with it. It was, it was a group of friends, and you get their camaraderie and their connection with each other, and it ranges from, you know, amazing, almost Shakespearean obscenities to poetic moments that sort of shake you to your core. So I was just really moved when I read it, and I also laughed out loud. I mean, it's very funny too.
How do you find the voice of veterans?
I did. When I was teaching at the university at various ones around our town area. I had a lot of students who were vets, and a few of them over the years shared stories through poetry or a short story or an essay. And that's part of where my interest came. I checked with an early draft. I checked with one of my former students, Zach Griffin, who wrote a book called Packed for the Wrong Trip. It was about the Marine Reserve unit that took over Abu Ghraib after that, after the scandal there. And that was a really good voice to listen to. And I sent it to him. He's an ex-Marine. And he said, yeah, that's pretty close. Because with these plays, like I found with One Blue Tarp, is I want to be right. I want to portray these guys honestly. So I did a lot of research. I got to go hang out with Healing Waters, which is a fly fishing veterans group here in Bangor. I learned a lot that evening, and I didn't ask any questions. I just hung out and tied flies with these folks, and that was an amazing experience. Partly, as one woman said, you know, she was asked, where have you been the last, you know, 20 years? And she said, underwater. Mm. And so I'm trying to access that as well. And it's been, then I had to watch a lot of movies, a lot of documentaries, a lot of books, a lot of research, because again, I want to get it right to honor these. Because this story is really about what life is like after a war, the cost that's paid by these men and how they view that cost.
Well, and we don't talk about that a lot, and particularly with our recent wars, there's just, I guess, an assumption that, well, they just come back and assimilate. They weren't big wars. They weren't a Vietnam. They weren't a World War II. It, when in reality, a Gulf War lasted longer than just about any war we've ever had, but I feel like our veterans get short shrift.
They don't get the cinematic treatment as much. And a lot of the cinema that I saw dealt with, you know, it was exciting, or it was one person very much alone. And I really wanted to, there was a really powerful documentary called Korangal, which is about a troop isolated up in the Afghan hills. And that sort of bond that they had there, and how would that possibly translate up to a weekend at camp back in the world, I guess. So it's a work in progress, but it's really, really coming along. A lot of good stuff is coming out. I think people will enjoy it, I think. And I really hope I can get some good responses from audience members as well as veterans. I haven't really had access to that audience yet.
We're talking with Travis Baker. Marshall May is in studio with us as well. Marshall, as an actor, as a director, is it exciting to be in here really on the ground level, this aspect of the creative process?
Oh, this is the golden part, really, to be a part of this thing where you really get to see the work develop and change. Sometimes it changes in a rehearsal. You're sitting there and an actor will say the wrong phrase, and then Travis will say, no, you know what?
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Change that. I like the mistake you made versus, you know, so it's a very much an organic process. I love working on new plays. I find it really satisfying, and the audience doesn't know how this is going to go. Like, if you go see Hamlet, everyone knows how Hamlet plays, but if you go see a new play, there's something really exciting about the audience's reaction.
The play is called The Dog's Pond. It's part of the Dirigo Speak series and the public reading tomorrow night. Let people know once again where they can see it, Travis.
Be the lecture hall at the Bangor Library. It's from 5 to 7. The actual reading will be about 5 to 6, and then there'll be a half hour for questions and then a half hour for escape.
Fantastic. While you're here, I have to ask you, how is hockey season going for you?
Well, as you can see, I got my son Zane here. He is a second-year peewee, and his brother is currently at the Alfond Arena having practice as well, and we're trying to coordinate who's going to pick up who. So we got to see some of the men practicing before Augie, and they're looking good. And the UMaine women are kicking some butt.
Yeah.
They are almost nationally ranked. I think they're like 13th.
5-2. Rick and Sarah have got a talented bunch of freshmen there.
So, and Allison Mateau has a rocket for a shot. So go see the women.
Absolutely. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks for coming in. Travis Baker and Marshall Mays joining us here. Check it out tomorrow night, The Dog's Pond.